Welcome. Jonathan Davis of NHL Network Radio to the program. Mr. Davis, how is California? We're currently watching the first few of 10 to 20 centimeters of snow falling today in Calgary.
Yeah, so very, very similar here, Ryan, you know, but just 70 degrees and beautiful, bright, sunshiny day as I walk the campus at UCLA.
If we hang up on you, it is not by accident.
Right.
The two series in California, I kind of felt like they were both pretty close to a coin toss. I ended up picking Vegas, I think, ever so slightly. Some of the numbers preferred them to L.A. L.A. not in the greatest situation health-wise on their blue line going into the playoffs. I took Anaheim over the Sharks. The one thing I didn't expect, though, was two teams to have all five wins through five games.
Yeah, I think that I don't think any of us expected that. And, you know, I think, you know, when you look first at the L.A. series, you know, look, you've got 3 one-goal games. But there's no question that Vegas has been the better team in each of the three games. And just like the regular season, Ryan, this Vegas team just seems to get better as the game goes on. And that's definitely what we saw in Game 3. Because L.A., you know, had a chance, I thought, especially going into that third period. They had a power play to start the third. And they had a chance to step on the Golden Knights' throats. And they couldn't do it. And credit Marc-Andre Fleury and the guys in front of them.
It's incredible what they've done, and you know what? It's William Karlsson getting on the board with his first. James Neal with his first. It's been an incredibly low-scoring series, but the one period where they do get two, in fact, they get three, happens to be when they needed them the most. This is not good times in L.A., I'm sure, although I don't know what expectations were. They were kind of a bubble team coming in, first year of a new regime in terms of the front office, in terms of John Stevens as the head coach, not an assistant, but still. This group, and Doughty's quotes mid-season said it all, they believed they'd be able to beat the Knights probably with relative ease. It has not been that at all.
No, it hasn't. And then, look, to go to the first part of your question or statement, I think, you know, look, coming into the season, and we've talked about it before, this was a team that, I, you know, was a bubble team. And I think, you know, a team that would be challenging for the eighth spot in the Western Conference. And so I think that when you look at what they've accomplished, they're at where I think, you know, many felt they would be. But as we step into the playoffs and you look at the matchups and, you know, I think everything that we thought that LA had, you know, advantage-wise, whether it be down the middle or having the stud defenseman and Drew Doughty, you know, Vegas has been able to counter. And I think, you know, for LA, you look back to Game 2 where, you know, despite no Doughty and no Jake Muzzin, they were one shot away from winning that game. And it would have, I think, put a whole new spin on the series. But again, you know, you have to credit the fact that Gerard Gallant has not changed anything that he did from the regular season in the playoffs. And, you know, guys are all playing around the same amount of minutes, at least forwards 1 through 8. And their D pairs are all, you know, within a 2 minute span of one another. So, you know, this has been a model that has worked for him. And I think that when it does come playoff time is that, you know, there's no panic. There's a trust factor that he can put any one of his four lines out there. And that's what he's done. And it's paid off big time as they're up 3-0 going into Tuesday night.
I don't know if you caught the show earlier today with Rhett and Boom, but we did get into Drew Doughty on a couple of levels. One, his comments in reaction to his suspension. And B, just where he rates in today's NHL amongst blue liners. They're clearly better with him. He's probably their best player, not named Kopitar or Quick, I suppose. I don't know how you'd compare a D-man to a goalie, but I think you get my point. Your thoughts on Doughty, A, with the suspension and the reaction to it, and then B, where his game is at as compared to the best in the league?
Well, his comments, I mean, that's, you know, look, it's what we're used to in Los Angeles. You know, Drew, it's Drew being Drew, and he's a guy that, you know, that sometimes you – Kings organization wish that he had a filter, but you know, us in the media and the general public are happy that he doesn't have a filter. And you know, he was expressing how he felt, and I can't, you know, I think that you know, we like that in today's world where guys just don't give you the cliche answers. As a standpoint of where he rates on the ice, look, there's no question to me that this is a guy that you know, is definitely, it will always be in the Norris Trophy conversation for, you know, for the next 5 or 6, maybe even longer years. And he is what he does for this team in every situation. And Drew talked about the fact that early on in his career, he didn't worry about playing the back end as much. He was trying to be more of a scorer, and he's learned, he's really improved the defensive side of his game. And I think that it's really helped in the maturation of, you know, whether it be a guy like a Derek Forbort, who he really babysat all of last season, he's helped to make him a better player. So look, he is definitely one of the best on the ice and definitely one of the best quotes off the ice.
That is fair. Just one further one on the Kings before we move on, because I do want to talk about the other series. If there's a to-do list this offseason, and look, we don't need to get into the obituary for the Kings, they might win, but that said, is another D-man the top of the list for what this organization needs to do? Clearly, Quick's a number one in this league and a good one. Clearly, they've passed the torch to some younger forwards in terms of some minutes. They've got Brown and Kopitar back where they were a few years ago rather than the disastrous 2016-17 campaigns. Is another D-man the top of the list?
I think another scoring forward is really more of a priority right now, because they've had, you know, both Tanner Pearson and Tyler Toffoli have had their moments, but, you know, I think they would like to see more from both of those guys. And so, you know, they've got Gabe Vilardi coming probably next season. He's had a phenomenal playoffs in the Ontario Hockey League. So, you know, or Quebec League, I think it is now. I keep forgetting where Vilardi is. But so they could use some more scoring up front. I think that, you know, their situation on the back end, and Ryan, I'm going to throw out the name of Slava Voynov. Don't be shocked if he is back in the NHL next season in a Kings uniform. It wouldn't surprise me. The one other thing I do want to just mention before we move off from this series is that Kings fans are going to be rather irate if the Department of Player Safety is not given a call to Eric Halla for his butt end on Anze Kopitar last night.
Yeah. There's been a lot of those gray area ones, but especially if one's laid down to Doughty, I think I hear your point. That fan base would be irate. Let's move along.
That was not a hockey play. Yes.
Go ahead. Keep going. I didn't see it live.
No, I just think, like, that was not a hockey play, you know, and that's the thing. And John Stevens was rather irate. And so, you know, that to me, I'd be very disappointed in the Department of Player Safety if something doesn't happen, just because of the fact, as I said, it was not a hockey play. And we don't need to debate the other ones, but that clearly was not one that was a hockey play. So, all right, let's move on to...
Well, and you know what? Let's stay there for just one moment, because it has been an incredibly nasty series. Elliot Friedman and the panel have talked about it a ton of Hockey Night in Canada. How vicious has it been in your mind? Is there any series that can compete with it? There's physical, but then there's that nasty, dirty edge that this series has that maybe there other series don't.
Well, no, I think, you know, if you watch Winnipeg and Minnesota, that's been kind of nasty, to say the least. And I think that Anaheim, San Jose has seen some of that as well. Look, I think for the most part that Vegas and L.A. has been a very clean series, but very, very hard hitting. I mean, we had, you know, what, 120 hits, I think, in game one, and we were pretty much around that in game two. I don't think it's really been a dirty series, but it's been nasty, and most of the stuff is... you know, look, it's what you want to see come playoff time. But, you know, the Hall of play last night, unfortunately, was one where, you know, he was a little frustrated and, you know, reacted, you know, poorly and was able, you know, and went and came away unscathed, at least during the game. Again, we'll see what happens, if anything, from the Department of Player Safety.
Haven't seen much of the Sharks and the Ducks. What has gone wrong for Anaheim, because they're 0-2 leaving home? That's not what's supposed to happen to a top seed, albeit, you know, a top seed that didn't get number two in the Pacific until, what, the last week of the season.
Right, but a team that has really played far better at home than they did on the road, and I think that was most surprising. Game one, Ryan, was a game that I think Anaheim forgot that the playoffs were starting that night. They looked absolutely awful, looked like a team that, you know, looked more like a regular season game for them. It was a real stinker. Game two was one where I thought they came out, you know, they got the quick goal 30 seconds in, looked really good, but John Gibson failed them early on. You know, he had the second and third goals that San Jose scored were ones that Gibson would want back. And then after that, you know, he was as good a goalie as you would find that third period. He did a phenomenal job of keeping Anaheim in the game. But, you know, San Jose has continued to do what they did during the regular season. And they don't beat themselves, and they play so hard. You know, they had goals, you know, from, you know, Anaheim did their best, Ryan, that night to try to get under the skin of Evander Kane. And it didn't matter because San Jose had other guys that were able to find the back of the net. And so Kane, who had, you know, scored two goals in game one, didn't score in game two. But there's, you know, you've had the play of Pavelski and the play of Hurdle, and Brent Burns, who was a force in game one, didn't actually have his first shot on goal until 50 minutes into game two. But Pete DeBoer has just done a phenomenal job at with this roster, and Anaheim, you know, just they woke up a little too late in game two, and you know, both with their guys up front and their goalie, and now they put themselves in a hole like they did last year against the Edmonton Oilers. But I don't think these San Jose Sharks are the Edmonton Oilers of 2016-17.
The other silver lining with San Jose is they were in a spot where Joe Thornton was close, but they don't need to rush him now, do they?
No, not at all. And yeah, there's no need. And I almost wonder, you know, look, he's definitely closer than he was a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that was more of a psych job by putting Thornton out for warm-ups.
Sure.
But clearly there's no reason to rush him. And look, you know, Anaheim just has to be smarter. They absolutely have to be smarter. And the penalty that Corey Perry took late in the third period of game two was absolutely indefensible. And one that, you know, you're down a goal and you take a run at a guy with 3 minutes to go, and you're down a goal. I mean, they just have to be smarter. They're going to have to be better. They're really missing Cam Fowler. There's no question about it. Their number one D-man. His loss is definitely noticeable, and I just don't see him coming back. And, you know, it's going to take Anaheim beating San Jose in round one for him to come back at all in the playoffs.
Jeez, it's weird. All in all, is there a team significantly better than the others in the Pacific? We've talked about all three games against LA, one goal a game. So, okay, it might end early, but it's been a close series by that measure. Anaheim, as you noted, without the number one, but is there a team that can come out of the Pacific and really put up a good fight against Nashville and or Winnipeg or whoever happens to surface the rest of the way?
Well, I'd have to say that, it's got to be both Vegas and San Jose. I really like the way that San Jose's playing right now. And if they get Joe Thornton back, well, that's just going to give them one more weapon. But, you know, look, Vegas continues to make believers out of all of us. And they're another team that just does not beat themselves. And the fact that, you know, that they seem to get stronger as the game goes on is really mystifying and has got to be very frustrating for the opponent, because once you think you have them, well, you don't. And it's been the ability of Gerard Gallant to use all of his guys. I think it just makes them a really tough out.
Great catching up with you as always. Do appreciate it. What's the home scene like? You've just had the Ducks at home and now the Kings at home. Are you getting to the buildings a bunch?
I am. Down in Anaheim on Saturday at the Stapler last night. And then back at Staples Center tomorrow night for what could be the last Kings home game of the year. And I may have seen the last Ducks home game for the year. So if that's the case, I definitely hope to make my way to Vegas for round two.
That's southwest corner of the country. Who knew? Such a hockey hotspot. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Ryan. Take care.
There's Jonathan Davis.